Okay, well, we're going to ask the builders to help us again. I don't know whether that's a good idea, but I think I've just got a feeling this time it might go right. They might be able to do it. But we're going to give them some advice. Okay, so we saw in the first building of the tower that to build a strong tower, we needed a strong foundation, didn't we? Now, Bob 1, a bit foolish. I did trick him because I gave him the sand. Bob 2, used the rock. And we just heard in our scripture reading there that those who build on the rock are wise. They're called wise because they build on the rock. And we're going to find out who that rock is in a sec. So we're going to look this morning at what's needed to build a good church. Now, before we say that, we're going to be building a building and we're in a building. But the Bible talks about the church as being us, the people. So when we talk about the church, not only are we talking about this church here this morning, we're talking about us, the people, in it. So first of all, we've got two very good builders and two very good builders helpers. Oh, you. Ethan can come up and help as well, please, because we need all the help we can. You know what these guys are like, so probably Ethan will make the difference. Okay, so this morning, the first thing we need is a master builder. Now, in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says that unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. Now, I think what they didn't do when they started early, they didn't commit it to the Lord. So maybe, builders, just commit it to the Lord. You're going to be building this, and you just need to, Lord, this is your church.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So I have got a spare hat. Who wanted to wear the spare hat? Oh, Ethan. Right, okay. Now, the second thing they didn't use. Now, we've seen there, we've got a lovely plan for our home in Zimbabwe that we're building. They didn't use a plan, did they? And if you're going to be building, you need some plans. So I'm going to give them the plans. Now, on those plans, it'll give them some instructions how to build the church. Now, we know that God, nothing takes God by surprise. And even in the Old Testament, he had a plan for the world, for us, for salvation. And in lots of the Old Testament prophets, it prophesied about someone coming. And that person was the only person that could bridge the gap between us and God. Because you see, we could never be holy enough to reach God. So we need someone to bridge that gap. And that bridge is Jesus Christ. So the next thing we need, we've got the plan. We need a strong foundation. Now I need two strong men here to lift our... Can you lift this? You and my little mate there.
James, go on.
James, right, lift it up high and show people what we have for a foundation. What's the foundation for our church?
Jesus!
I didn't quite hear that. What's the foundation?
Jesus!
Still didn't quite hear it. What is the foundation, folks?
Jesus!
Amen! Yes, so we've got a foundation. So we'll put it on the table. Now, this is really going to help with the construction of our church, let me tell you. We need Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, by the grace of God, we just heard it. I laid a foundation as a wise builder and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. And that's Jesus Christ. Is our foundation this morning on Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ just a swear word to you? Or is he your foundation of your life? Because we cannot build on anything but Jesus. And he'll never let us down. Okay, so we've got a foundation. So the next thing we need are something to actually make the walls, don't we? So we've got our plan. That should tell you how to this time. We've got our foundation. So you can start building the walls for me, please, everyone, while I just talk about what those stones are. In 1 Peter, we heard that as we come to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious, you also are living stones. Did you know that? Did you know that every one of you is a living stone if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life? And if you're building on his foundation, we're classed as living stones that God can use to build his church. Do you remember what we said? It's not just about the building. It's about the people. And he wants us to build his church. And you might say, but, you know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not someone who can go out as a missionary. I'm not some great evangelist. I'm just not anything important. But you know what God says? Everyone is important. From Isabel at the back, Isabel at the front, Josie, to, I'm just looking for the oldest. I better not say the oldest, had I? But to the oldest here. We are all important. We are all those living stones. And the Lord has a plan for each and every one of us. And if just one of us doesn't do the plan God has for this church, do you know what happens? Do you remember them trying to build it before and it was a real hodgepodge and a mess because they didn't have a plan, they didn't have a strong foundation, and they didn't work together, so they made a mess of it. And that's what happens in a church where Jesus isn't the foundation, where we're all going at our own distances, we're not working together, and we're not just doing our job, because God has given each one of us a job. And you know, your job, pardon the expression, but might be to clean the toilets. He might have said, I want you to be a servant to the church. I want you to clean. Are you willing to clean? You won't be praised probably. You'll be forgotten, but are you willing? Or are you willing not let anyone know that you're going to give someone a gift? Are you willing to do that and not get any recognition? Are you willing, if I say go, to go into all the world and preach the gospel? You see, we have Sarah here who was willing. The Lord called her one time to go on the Logos Hope. She went. Joyce one time was called to go to India. She went. You know, it's not old-fashioned being a missionary. And there might be someone in this church this morning who's getting that call from God to say, I want you to go. But the main thing I want you to know is we are all part of this. Hey, I'm looking at the side of my eye. So far, so good. But we've not finished. So we all are part of this church. Well, as you came in, we got all your names. So I'd like you to put them on bricks, all the names.
Yeah, we put the names on the bricks.
On the bricks, so you can see you are part of this church. All these names are going to be put on the bricks. While we talk about the cement. So my husband at the moment has been building a step outside, bless him, and he's made a bit of a mess, but he had to put some cement to keep the bricks together that we're really hoping hold it. He's never done it before. So I was thinking, what's the cement that will hold a church together? I'll ask you, can anyone think what the cement might be to hold a church together? Anyone want to hazard a guess? The bricks are us. The foundation's Jesus. The Lord is the master builder. What could be the cement? Love. The Holy Spirit. So love is right, because it's part of what I was going to say is part of the cement. So the cement that holds it together that needs to go in the cracks is the Holy Spirit. Now, there's two facets to the Holy Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit, as we read in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Without them, it won't stick together. And you know, all too often in a church, and it's a criticism from the world, there's bickering. There's pulling each other apart. There's gossiping about each other. There's not much love. There's not much peace. There's not much patience. And that's a real indictment, because we need all those fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, people looking from the outside in, if they see those fruit in our lives, I reckon they'd want to know about it. And then added to that, there's something else the Holy Spirit brings that is also cement. And they're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we read in Corinthians, there's many gifts. There's a gift of healing. There's a gift of prophecy. There's a gift of helps. There's a gift of administration. There's lots of gifts. And again, we need those gifts to cement the church together. If we're all working in the fruit of the Spirit, in love, in joy, in peace and patience, kindness, and then if we're all using our gifts that God has given us, and he gives them freely, it says in the Bible, if we ask for them, then the church will have power. And in the Greek, it's dynamite power, if we work with the cement of the Holy Spirit. Now, if they've done it right, I'm just going to have a look at the front of my church, or our church. Oh, can anyone see what's missing? Oh, Jesus' sake, what are these? There's no names, is there? Have you noticed? There's no names on those bricks. Well, you know, thank you, Bobs. Those names are people who haven't yet come to know Jesus Christ. Because if everyone who is going to know Jesus was in the church, guess who'd be back here now? And that would be Jesus, because he's coming back. But he said he's coming back when everyone has heard the gospel, and everyone who is going to respond will have responded. So there's some missing names on that church. Now, if we pull those bricks out, it wouldn't stand looking so good as it looks now, would it? It'd be a bit dilapidated. It'd be like a bit like the second time they had a go at building the church. So I want to ask you this morning, our job to finish our church here, let's not be looking inward. Nathan and the deacons and the elders have really been discussing and going through this over the last 6 months. They want our church to be outward looking. They want us to reach out to those who are suffering, who don't know our Lord Jesus Christ. They want us to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ, because it is good news. And so often, we don't tell people, we're a bit shy. You know, I had to go and have some blood this week. Oh, and there's a shortage in blood bottles, and there's even more shortage now. They took loads. But the lady who was taking the blood, it was great. She said to me, "You're not afraid?" I said, "No, I'm not afraid. I love Jesus. If I die, I go to be with Jesus. Why am I afraid?" And she said, "Oh, that's amazing." Well then, praise the Lord, we had a wonderful conversation about Jesus. And I told her the good news of Jesus. And I left her with a couple of little leaflets about Jesus. And I said, "You know, if you ever want to know more, I go to long." I didn't have long because they were all queuing up, so I had to be quick getting it out there. I said, "If you ever want to know anything, come to Longbuckby Church. I go to that church and I'd love to introduce you to Jesus." And I'm praying for her now. I don't even know her name. I didn't even get a chance to get a name. But I'm hoping that she will become one of those bricks. A word in season. I only had a little tiny bit, but I tell you what, I made use of it. I thought, "Oh Lord, this is exciting." Praise God. There are people who are looking for Jesus Christ. Some of them don't even know they're looking, like that video we were watching. Some of them are in religions that are totally against Jesus. And Jesus miraculously comes to them, actually. But in the most part, he's called us. Matthew 28, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach them, disciple them, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." This is our job, folks. To finish this church, we need to go out and preach the gospel. Now, to finish with that this morning, what I want to do, maybe during the last hymn, and it doesn't matter if it's a bit chaotic, I'd like you to come and take a brick home with you. Maybe the one that's got your name on would be good. And opposite to your name, I'd like you to finish off that brick with the names of people you're going to commit to pray for, to speak to, and take it home with you as a reminder that you are part of this church. You are part of the worldwide church, not just Longbuckby Church. And praise God you're part of that church. Thank him every day he chose you. But also remember those who don't know Jesus yet. And the least you can do is pray for them. The best you can do is invite them to church, or invite them to one of the outreach services we're going to be having. Or if you feel confident, tell them yourself. But you know, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm not like you, Susan. You're out there." I say, "Yeah, I am out there." Well, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. We all have legs, we all have hands, we all have mouths. So all we need to say is, well, look, I'm not very good at telling you, but I know someone who can. So can I take you to meet someone who can tell you about Jesus? We can all do that, can't we? So I want to challenge you this morning. Praise God you're a brick. You're a living stone. And you know, not just a living stone, there's some wonderful words Jesus or the apostles talk about you in the Bible. Do you know, if you're one of those living stones, you're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. Wow, you're a son of God. You're an heir to eternity. Some amazing titles you have this morning because you're one of these stones. But let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's go out and tell others that they too can be a living stone and that they can meet Jesus for themselves and know his saving power and his peace. And you know, as a Christian, it's not always easy. Things come along and really flatten you. But I tell you what, without him, I don't know what I'd have done. I really don't, because he picks you up. When you get bad news, I had a bit of bad news last week. Do you know what my reaction was? And it was praise God. I did a shiggy on us, and I thought, yes, amen. Nothing Satan can throw at me is going to bother me. I'm praising God. I'm praising God because my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm praising God. Why have I got anything to be miserable about? I haven't. I know the Saviour. So we're going to finish this morning with the song Cornerstone. There will be people at the back if anyone wants to go and have some prayer. And during Cornerstone, maybe have a think of the words, is Jesus your foundation? Is Jesus your cornerstone? And if he isn't, I want to ask you this morning, would you be willing to make him your foundation and your cornerstone? And then a challenge to those in the church to come and take a brick with your name on. Take it home. Write someone else's. You can write 50 names on. That'd be great. Or just one. And commit to praying for them. And commit to maybe seeing them come into salvation. That's the least we can do. Yeah? So amen. Let's sing.